Magic 102.7.
All right, all right. Good morning, Bermuda. We didn't get our usual introduction in terms of the need to lead. We are grateful to Medical Radio, Dr. D, Dr. Stan on. I trust that all of you will take heed, take notice, and join the state. I call it the State of the Union that they're doing in terms of tapping into our medical spiritual wellness. And today on the Need to Lead, momentarily we'll have a call in, but in the spirit of the Need to Lead, let me begin as we normally do. Dr. Lou sitting in for Dr. Shangri-La Dorm Thompson doing my servant leadership duties. And so today, dear Lord, we thank you that no matter what we may face today, with your help, we will be able to endure, overcome, and prevail. We thank you in advance for your strength and energy that will sustain us, your wisdom that will guide us, and your peace that will fill us. May we honor you today in all that we think, say, and do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the African Holy Ghost. Amen. My people, we have a special guest. I'll be pulling in our guest in a few moments. Long distance calling in. Let me just set this up, my people, because this is a, you know how we like to do it on the Need to Lead. We introduce you to leaders, global, local, national leaders. And the person that I'm about to introduce Bermuda to, let me just say, oops, he'll have to call back in. We've been doing some very important work with Don Hotzel. Don is the founder and first commissioner of the World Air League. He's organizing the World Sky Race, and that's the subject of our conversation when we talk about visionary, innovator, inventor. This is a man that we're introducing to Bermuda, and I have had the pleasure of being a part of what he is doing in terms of the vision of this race, the World Sky Race, the historic first in, that this is a race of airships to circle the planet. You may, let's say, when we say airships today, you may look at them and you may call them blimps, right? But this is something different. Hartzell's projects and inventions include improve the vacuum sublimation process for dehydrating frozen and wet books in a research partnership with NASA, and the curator of Magna Carta for the largest successful book collection restoration ever, consisting of 1.2 million books for the City of Los Angeles Central Public Library. Wow. He's been a consultant on the restorations of the Windsor Castle, Hofburg Palace in Austria, Reichstag in Germany, restored the University of Houston faculties after Tropical Storm Allison. Wow. This is a man who's a innovator and inventor. Numerous awards and recognition, Department of Energy awardee. He was the 2000 nominee for the National Medal of Technology, the highest award actually presented by the president for the U.S. developed technology. Also a former chairman for the University of Houston Center for Applied Technology. By profession, Don Hotzel is an attorney, retired, CPA, retired, and like I said, inventor, dreamer, innovator. And we're going to have the pleasure of his call in today. I believe he may be calling from Houston. We'll find out momentarily. So, Don, I know you and your team are listening. The number is 1-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888-888 257-9086. And I think we have it. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Don Hotso, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I had been most concerned about getting in because the, you know, I kept getting the recording message.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm sorry that we're not doing the podcast, but doing it the old-fashioned way. We're going to be innovative, creative, descriptive in terms of just speaking to this important venture in terms of the World Sky Race, a race for the planet, a race for humanity. And first of all, me and I read some of your bio, Don, and man, you certainly are an innovator, inventor, who has, let's just say, I'm going to place it in this context, you're making the possible for Bermuda in terms of the dream when we talk about the World Sky Race. So I want to open up a little in terms of, first and foremost, how did this become an introduction to Bermuda? Because I know I was introduced to you through Donald Smith, and we've just taken off in terms of the role that this can play and will play, actually, in education. I want to say some more about that because one of our teacher leader educators, Mr. Neville Zuhl, is moving along and taking off with this based on the proposal that we put to you in terms of involving our young people in this global venture. So go ahead. Tell us some more.
Well, first of all, I am very thankful for having the opportunity to spread the word, if you will, because, first of all, this is all about amplification. It starts with an individual idea and nurturing that idea and watching it grow and seeing the manifestations of its growth into so many aspects of a kaleidoscope, which will actually enthrall and entertain the entire world. And so the World Sky Race, it's a race for the planet. It's a race for humanity. Our goal with it is to actually be disruptive and entertaining. Most of the world looks at entertainment as what they spend their idle time with. We're going to make entertainment productive.
And as you look to do that, Don, in terms of making it productive, you know, I've been, as I've shared, I've had the pleasure of being invited to some of the planning meetings of this venture. And when you talk about presenting an idea and having an openness about an idea of its possibilities, that is one of the more gratifying experiences that I've been having in terms of listening to the diverse team of persons in this great possibility of the World Sky Race, a race for the planet, a race for humanity. Just share with us in terms of when we talk about the, let's just say, the journey of this here, to conceptualize and give people descriptively, yes, we're talking about the air spaceships. People may view them as the blimps, but this is a race that's starting where, looking to finish where?
Well, the goal of this race is all about change. Mm. It's all about being the instigator, the incubator of change.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the power of entertainment and the need of education as being the drivers for what is going to be incorporated and intertwined in a weave, a tapestry, if you will, that's going to circle our planet. We're going to start a race of airships, and mm-hmm. our goal is not simple. It is hard, and we do it because we must. And that is, going forward, our future needs solutions that are sustainable, that will keep our climate in balance, that will keep our living on this planet in balance. And so we have designed this race specifically to create the technology for aviation to go forward. And this race is not just merely entertainment. At the conclusion of this race, we're going to have working, demonstrated proofs, engineering proofs of airships being able to deliver air cargo and passengers worldwide without using a drop of fossil fuel. Our goal is very simple. It is to take the greenest form of aviation, which is lighter than air. I mean, after all, lighter than air means buoyant. It floats. Airships float. And as a result of floating, they spend no energy at all to be in the air. I mean, none. So as they are floating, we're taking advantage of physics. We're taking advantage of what they knew a century ago when they had the engineering for airships, when they had the golden age of airships, which was in the 1920s and the 1930s. Most people do not know the history of airships. And so we're going to go down that path a little bit right now. And that is, there was a gigantic competition between the airplanes and airships at the beginning of the last century, the 1920s, the 1930s. Airships were the first to be flying. Airships were the first to be the first international airline. They had scheduled airline services between Europe, between North America, and South America. And so they were carrying passengers in the Hindenburg, which we all now know and we all can think of in all the footage of airships that we have as far as humanity is concerned, know of the Hindenburg. But the Hindenburg, its capabilities were absolutely amazing. It could travel with 180 people on board with scheduled airline services, the first international airline at all. And so when airships were traveling against airplanes, airplanes were starting to develop those piston engines and developing horsepower. And when an airship was traveling across the Atlantic with 180 people, airplanes could do it with four and still needed to land in places like Bermuda to be able to make that crossing available for others. And so we are looking at the crossroads of what was a very serious, robust competition. I mean, most people do not realize that airships could travel with 252 tons of cargo or lifting capacity. They did not realize that when the last airship finally retired, and it was not because of the Hindenburg, but simply because of other factors, that airships went out of that competition a century ago, is that they do not realize that when the airships retired, that they had already logged more than 50 million passenger miles. What we're doing with this race is we're taking these proven engineering capabilities that was designed in the competition between airplanes and airships a century ago, and we're modernizing them. We're making them, well, first of all, they're safer today than they ever were before, you know, with helium being their lifting gas. But we're going to modernize their avionics. We're going to modernize their structure. We're going to make them more capable in terms of every capacity of what they've already done. And we're going to require that the propulsion systems on board these airships not have a drop of fossil fuel involved. Instead, they're going to be solar powered. They're going to be electric vehicle powered. They're going to have hydrogen fuel cells. They might even have wind. They could have hybrid, or rather I say biofuels in there, but they don't have to have fossil fuel. And we're going to make that a requirement. And we're doing that simply because our royal patron, who had made the suggestion to us, and we heard him loudly, is His Serene Highness Prince Albert II of Monaco. And when he suggested that, a light bulb of brilliance went off. I mean, it's like, yes, of course, twist my arm. This is exactly what we need to do because this is what the world needs. And we're going to entertain the entire world while we challenge inventors to invent, investors to invest, and adventurers to compete. So let me describe a little bit about the World Sky Race and how awesome it is. And we're going to start in London. We're going to have our starting point at the Greenwich Prime Meridian in front of the atomic clock, in which all time on Earth is synchronized to that clock. We will have at the Greenwich Prime Meridian in front of the Royal Observatory the send-off of the airships. And what we're going to do is we're going to have what we will call a sky cup. And that is we will race around London for about 2, maybe 3 hours. And in so doing, we have secured the H-9 helicopter path right down the Thames River. So the first 15 minutes of this three-hour race around London is going to be the O2 Dome. It'll be Tower Bridge. It'll be the Millennium Eye, the Houses of Parliament, and Big Ben. And as we fly around London, we will be treating London to a spectacular event that, you know, will enthrall and entertain. And we will do this, and 2 weeks later, we will have moved our entire flying circus of competing airships to Berlin. And in Berlin, there we will have the Sky Cup of Berlin. And this means we will be entertaining Berlin. We will have brought an armada of airships from the United Kingdom to Germany in peace. And in so doing, we will change the lens of how this event is viewed, because each event is viewed locally as well as globally. And from the German perspective, the Germans are enthralled, they're enraptured, they absolutely adore airships. It was their country, their brethren, their countrymen that created the first airships, Count von Zeppelin. And in so doing, we will be appealing to the 86 million German heartbeats that are already enraptured with their culture, their history, their affinity, their desires to see airships in the air. And this exists. This is real. This is a facet of life. And so when I say that with each instance when we change the lens, we're changing it in a way that is designed to bring attention and glory and pride to the Sky Cup cities, to the country that's hosting us. And so our intent is to have our race around Berlin on October 3rd, German Unification Day, their day in which Germany is officially brought back together as a whole. You know, after World War II, it had remained divided. It was the pieces on the chessboard between the Soviet Union and the United States in terms of the Cold War. And so the Germans take great pride in the reunification of their country. And so it is going to be on their day that we salute them. And so, again, the lens of the race changes to where we go. So 2 weeks later, we're going to be racing around the Vatican, around the Roman Colosseum. And so we will have moved this entire flying circus now to Rome. And in so doing, we will be giving the salute to the Roman engineering that just changed and basically shaped the world that we still live in. And so with that, we have that perspective that is so uniquely flavorful that the Italians, that the Romans bring to this race, and this will be a salute to them. After, we're going to Lagos. And then onwards, we have secured the landing rights at the Great Pyramids. We have obtained the flyover rights of the Taj Mahal. We get to fly over the Twin Towers of Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur. We get to go to Ha Long Bay outside of Hanoi in Vietnam. Then it is to be determined whether it will be China, Taipei, or China, Singapore, that the race goes. That's a political question that will be resolved as we move forward. But we're confident, absolutely confident, that the race will be glorifying China and its history and it being a part of the tapestry of the world in which we live. Then we're going to Japan. And onward from Japan, it is to Anchorage. And then from Anchorage, we have the flyover rights of the Golden Gate Bridge. And we head down to San Diego, make a left turn, and head towards Texas, which is where I live. And so I'm going to make certain that these airships, when they're in the skies of Texas, they're going to be here at the most glorious moment of our year, and that is while all of our wildflowers are blooming. And when that, we will showcase to Texas how we see ourselves. And so each of these stops are a celebration of who you are, who we are together as citizens of this world. And so from Texas onward, it's to the Statue of Liberty. And from the Statue of Liberty, we will be transforming our race to be very oceanic. We'll head to Bermuda, and from Bermuda onward to Portugal. And so the Portuguese Navy, they have pledged two of their Vasco da Gama frigates to be a part of our safety net for crossing the Atlantic Ocean. We go to Lisbon, and then from Lisbon, we have that last jaunt to the Palace of Versailles, where the Montgolfier brothers launched the very first hot air balloon. Mankind's first steps into the heavens was at Versailles Palace. And so we will end our race. We will end where it began.
Wow. What a journey. And, you know, in terms of as you were taking us along the journey itself, I was descriptively in terms of, yes, the entertainment, but just the majesty that is our globe, our world, and the interconnection of an important event like this here, bringing the world together. And of course, the fact that Bermuda, and I want to be there with this here, in terms of Bermuda, when you talk about from New York to Bermuda to Portugal, certainly Bermuda is connected to all of the globe. But when we talk about leaving New York, coming to Bermuda and Portugal, there is, when I reflect and think in terms of the great possibilities of the entertainment and the education component that goes with that, share with us some of the education connections that we're talking about adding to this here, because we've been very deliberate in terms of the education piece, in terms of the age group of children that we want to be active participants in these, in this type of venture. And I can say that on the Bermuda side, linked to our Summer STEAM Academy, we've already begun some of the outline for our Summer STEAM Academy of very practical STEAM lesson plans, but I'm going to say STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, of how students will be involved in constructing makeshift blimps, airships, designed, taking on some of the character that the World Sky Race is looking to put out there. But elaborate some more for us in terms of some of the things that you're looking for from an education perspective.
Well, first of all, what we've been talking about in the first part of this is about technology development, about the excitement, the sports, the entertainment values that are being created by this race. That is just absolutely gigantic and fantastic and awesome in its own right. Now, we're about to expand the universe in which this story, this event, is much, much larger than just simple entertainment.
Yeah.
This is about education, because education is that never-ending task of civilization, and that is educating the next generation and preparing them for their place in the future. And in so doing, we recognize that, and we are going to be presenting to the world, for teachers around the world, the ability to to go and download daily the internet off of the internet, the lesson plans for their classroom. So a teacher can walk into the classroom and not merely be a teacher, but hopefully an inspiring teacher. And she'll get to start, or he will get to start the classroom with this question: where are the airships today? We are now talking geography. We're talking history. We're talking culture. We're talking math, science, the environment, all the things that are instilled in the next generation. And what's interesting is we're going to be able to deliver to them for an entire educational year, because this race, the way it's been designed, is to fit precisely into an academic school year, in that it starts in September. And so by our having our races every 2 weeks, we will conclude at Versailles Palace in May. And so September to May, that's an academic school year.
Right.
And so that gives us the ability to be a consistent factor in the educational development of the world's next generation. What this means is that we are going to be talking to the next generation of global citizens, global artists, global accountants, global engineers, global leaders. And in so doing, we're going to be a part of creating a connective experience for the entire world to share an educational bond that will be a bond that will deliver its dividends, not merely in a year, but it's going to be measured in lifetimes. Because let's say you're 12 years old and you watch the World Sky Race from your desk in your classroom for an entire year. But when you're 22 years old and you're meeting a fellow citizen of the world that's also 22, you're going to be able to talk about what you already share, which is a common educational bond, and that is the experience of the World Sky Race. And so that dividend will go on to when you're 42 and when they're 72. And so it's going to be a connective bond that is measured in heartbeats and lifetimes. And with that, we see this as a causation that will transform the next generation in a unique and very powerful way. And so with that great power, we will have to have great responsibilities in terms of how we are connecting the world and pathfinding and showing them that we are pathfinding for them green and alternative solutions to the world that they are currently going to inherit. I would have gone on and on.
But it's something that you said in terms of, again, given that this has so much emphasis also on the environmental concerns, obviously, for a place like Bermuda, I mean, we are all infected by the environmental conditions impacting our climate, for example. And a small island, as is Bermuda, given that we are the smallest representative in this journey, how would we and how would you like to see us make a connection to, for example, our Caribbean family to the south of us? And when I think of even certainly in Asia, certainly, you know, you've identified the role that the anticipated role. I mean, we're talking about Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, China. There are the smaller Polynesian types of island nations. How do we begin to make that connection across smaller nations, extending to the role that, of course, the larger nations are playing in this year? And yes, education is their role, but what role, for example, is the United Nations playing in something like this here?
It is our goal that we will have the support of the United Nations and UNESCO in the connective development of this educational experience, because frankly, this is a big tent and we want everyone to participate. And truth of the matter is we're inventing this project as we go. No one has done anything like this ever before. And yes, they have in parts and pieces. I mean, after all, there's, let's say, global educational initiatives out there. There's the Tour de France out there. There's the Olympics. There's aero sports out there. So parts and pieces of this already exist. So we're not going to be inventing anything new. We're just going to be assembling the wheel in a new way. And so it is our expectation that we will see organizations like the United Nations, like UNESCO, like ministries of education become, in essence, part of the proponents that are going to want to showcase for their purposes and for the world's purposes what unites us. And what we're looking at as we fly over the world, we're planning on our route incorporating more than 130 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Now, how many World Heritage Sites are there in Hamilton, Bermuda?
Well, we have ours right there in St. George's, our old capital, and that is probably our most distinguished, I like to say, World Heritage Site. We have a few others, but certainly when we reflect upon our World Heritage Site, the town of St. George's, where the first settlers arrived, is significant to Bermudian history and culture. And as a World Heritage Site that St. George's, the town of St. George's and the parish of St. George's is to Bermuda's people, we envision can see that playing a significant role on the Bermudian side of this venture.
Well, I can foresee that on the day that we're flying over Bermuda, that part of the pop quizzes that teachers are going to be administering to their students around the world is, what happened in Bermuda and why does it have a UNESCO World Heritage Site and what is its history and where is it in our history? And so it becomes an educational experience for connecting the world's next generation.
And certainly with that exercise, it certainly will assist and connect the next generation to, as you articulated earlier, you know, Bermuda played a role in the earlier wars. And so students who will be a part of that connection, I can see them with, like you said, where in the world are the airships today?
Yes. And precisely so. And the thing is, we're not going to stop with just simply educational content in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is bigger. What we are going to do is each of the places that we fly over, we're going to require out of partnership, out of the local participation, that in order for us to fly over, they're going to have to assure us that at least 10% of their workforce is involved with internships from their universities. And we're going to be drawing on the creation of internships in the form of aviation, in the form of government communications, in the form of data management, in the form of basically hospitality, tourism. And we're going to have students that are interns be a major component of our workforce, because what we want to do is connect at that level the world's next generation that are going to be our immediate leaders and our immediate global citizens and our immediate global tourists. And in so doing, the first line on their resume is going to be having participated in a project that changed the world. That will be their starting point in their professional lives.
That in itself places them in a on a platform as innovators, as change makers, of leaders that we are looking forward to as we roll out, you know, a reimagined education in a changing world.
And let me just ask this here. Recognizing that this is a $5 million World Sky Race prize attached, I mean, these ventures, of course, as I've learned and you've shared and we've been participating in our own meetings, are not without capital. And so there's a responsibility and contribution to this here to get all of our stakeholders, and certainly you've named some of them in terms of when you're talking about UNESCO, when you're talking about United Nations. But what are some of the expectations and roles that we are targeting in terms of our corporations to support this, recognizing that here in Bermuda, recognized for its global reinsurance industry, and I'm sure that these are airships that will be well insured as they travel. Bermuda plays a role to play in that there too. So from a capital perspective, what are some of the things that we are looking for in terms of that capital support?
You know, that is a fantastic question, because that is ultimately what's going to drive this forward, and that is the desire to be recognized in front of the globe by corporate citizens of the world, showcasing their values, showcasing what they're doing in terms of helping create solutions, in terms of allowing the world to take its next step forward. As the world gets more complex, and as it gets more complex, we have to be aware of the environment around us. And so we're looking for those corporate citizens that are going to be helping sponsor this change. Because first of all, you know, they're going to be recognized as a part of this. It's very simple, in that while we are traveling around the world for an entire year, those that are participating in it are going to be seen and heard by the entire student body that is following the World Sky Race. And they're going to be, at that moment in their lives, they're going to be forming their missions in life. And this is when people want and companies want to be seen and heard by those students that are going to be their future partners, their future leaders, their future consumers. And so this is all about being engaged and being seen and being heard. And since we're doing this over 9 months, we have ample opportunity to provide the necessary involvement in this tapestry that we're weaving. It's like, you know, I created this idea of the World Sky Race, a race of airships around the world. But the truth of the matter is everything that you and I are discussing right now is the contribution of somebody else who has added to this kaleidoscope, to this tapestry. And so we want each and every one that's a participant in this to be recognized. And so in that, their dollars, their sponsorship, their resources all become necessary. And one of the things is we're asking the world to have 17 major parties and festivals around the world to be a part of the World Sky Race. We're not going to just simply race around the city and leave. We're going to have some fun while we're there. We're going to bring people out to our village that is created around the airships at each of our destinations. And in so doing, we're going to be giving ample opportunity for our partners, our sponsors, and the students of the world to participate. So this is a live action event that we're creating. In fact, I get to say this because I'm from Texas and we get to describe things in this manner. As we fly around the world, our race route is designed to go over the coastal regions, first of Europe, the Mediterranean, North Africa, then the Red Sea, the Arabian Sea, then basically onward to India, then Southeast Asia, Asia, Alaska, west coast of North America, east coast of North America, and back to Europe. That route is going to encompass flying over more than 2+ billion people. This race, the World Sky Race, is going to be the largest sporting and entertainment event seen in total by the largest number of live spectators in the entire history of the human race. And with that, That's why you want to be involved. This is why everyone is going to want to be at a place where they can say, I saw the World Sky Race, because this is going to be a memorable event that will shape lifetimes.
And we certainly want to be a part, and we are a part of it thus far, and want to say that, you know, we are some of the participatory members of this here, who are, yeah, moving a pound per mile, as you say, airships using 75% less energy, 75% less fuel, 75% less pollution. Now, these are the things that we want to, of course, put across to, yes, the world, but certainly to our next generation of leaders. Because it is in our next generation of leaders that we have our next generation of governance. And certainly we want the positive attention toward, yes, in the environment and sustainability, but also the lifelong learning that comes with being educated daily.
But we have decided that the world leadership out there is not in tune with the next generation. I mean, you know, it's obvious. And when I say that as a person who wrings their hand, is looking for a solution as to what can we do to alter the landscape of leadership. And we're going to the people. We will be seen and heard by the world's next generation. And what's going to happen is at that kitchen table, children are going to be asking their parents some very hard questions on what is obvious, and that is green airships are a solution to the world's aviation in terms of the pollution that it currently creates. It is a means in which the entire world can be connected without using fossil fuel. Airships can operate from the Antarctic to the equator to the Arctic, and they can do so without a road. They can do so without a railroad, without dredging another harbor, without tearing down another rainforest. They can do it without a runway. And so the versatility of airships was proven a century ago. I mean, the first airship to go over, you know, the first instance of going over the North Pole was an airship. And so we look at the historical values of what was created a century ago. And what we are doing is just simply going, duh, this is obvious. This is simply back to the future. Mm-hmm. And in that, we are looking at how a path that was a competitive path in aviation a century ago is actually the winning path for today.
How do we, Don, you know, there's so much contention and competing beliefs about the impact of certainly climate change, but how do we navigate also some of the politics of contention toward ventures like this? People see they see the airship and they say, okay, if this is being projected, yes, for the future, how do we begin to mediate some of the, there's always negativity that comes with ideas of great possibility. How do you begin to mediate some of the politics on this here?
You know, that right there goes to a very, very interesting proven mechanism. And that is the power of prizes is proven. And the whole purpose of the power of the prize is to sidestep the politics, sidestep the barriers, sidestep the red tape, sidestep the naysayers. Because what we're doing is we're offering a prize of optimism. And the World Sky Race Prize, as I said, it will inspire inventors to invent, investors to invest, adventurers to compete. And what we're doing is we're following a proven path of history to say that. The X Prize, which, you know, is a $10 million prize. Mm-hmm. 27 companies competed to win that $10 million prize. In total, they spent more than $121 million on their attempts to win that prize. Well, it was won. And when it was won, it ushered into the world a $1 trillion space industry. Mm-hmm. Then we have the Ortega Prize of 1917. The Ortega Prize was to be able to fly from New York to Paris nonstop. And finally, in the 20s, Lucky Lindbergh won that prize. Mm-hmm. And as he won it, people had shed their blood and lost their lives chasing after that $25,000 prize. But that $25,000 prize, with its acclamation of Lindbergh in Paris at Orsay, the entire world changed. The world became a Pan Am world with airports, scheduled airline services, passengers traveling, air cargo everywhere. And so that transformative $25,000 prize ushered in the world of aviation that we live in today. And so we see now the power of that $25,000. But then we go back to the Longitude Prize, the 1714 Longitude Prize, in which John Harris won 20,000 pounds for creating two synchronized watches that allowed for the calculation of longitude. And with that, navigation in the entire world changed. And that transformative event allowed the United Kingdom to be the ascendant power around this entire globe for that brief period of time in which they had that technological edge. They maintained it for several centuries. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking about what prizes can do that are disruptive and transformative. The World Sky Race Prize is designed to follow those footsteps because they're proven footsteps to follow. They have pathfinded for us, and we will continue the pathfinding that they started.
And with this here also, in terms of some of what I've been exposed to in deliberation or discussions with you and the team, certainly is not to be dismissed, and I think we need to place emphasis on it. I mean, the health impact and the social responsibility that goes, yes, with the innovation and scientific advancement, but the economic benefits that has strong health impacts, because as we've been talking about, you know, the sustainability, environment, going green and all of that, it's also a thing to impact, of course, the microplastics that, you know, I mean, we're in the vastness of the ocean here in the North Atlantic. And we're not oblivious to the reality of the role that, of course, the plastics have on our maritime culture. And so this is something, again, that goes with the importance, yes, of the race, but again, also of bringing attention to these types of assaults on the planet. And therefore, when we talk about a race for the planet and a race for humanity, it just places into context, it's not just the airships circumventing the globe and so forth, but really attacking those environmental assaults on all of us that we may be just taking for granted.
So we look at the World Sky Race as a platform, a means to focus attention. And in so doing, that is called leadership. We plan on focusing the world's attention on issues that we see today that are detrimental mm-hmm. to the quality of life for the next generation. I mean, after all, we're parents, we're grandparents. We have our cousins, we have our aunts, we have our uncles, and we're responsibility, all of us, connected to each of us. And so when it comes to issues that are personal, and plastics are very personal, they're now talking about how much plastics are in our brains. So it's not something that is out there. It is in us, not out there. It's in us. And it is something that we know intuitively that it needs to stop. And the only way to get it stopped is to bring attention to it, to focus the world's attention on it, and get our leaders engaged in a way where they're no longer dealing in back rooms and having private discussions with those who make their profits off of plastics or other things. Our goal is to be able to shine a light, focus attention, and amplify the message of what it takes for us to live in a sustainable world. And I'm going to go with what to me is just simple and obvious. And you know, to me, the whole notion that we can talk about plastics while we're flying our airships around the world, that is one of the causes that we're going to be supporting and amplifying its message. And since we're going to have the attention of the world's next generation, those students that are listening, they're going to ask their parents those very hard questions. And that's where change happens. We're not going to wait for the future to happen. We're going to be a part of the future of it happening.
Absolutely. Look, Don, an hour goes very quickly, and I think your last statements help to sum it up, but just give us one more time in terms of the start of this here. You mentioned October 3rd, sorry. It's where it will give some attention in terms of Germany. But when we talk about the year, I mean, I know some things have been going on preliminary in terms of starting. We're talking about what, 26, 27, 29, I mean, 2020, yeah. 2027.
Our goal is to launch the World Sky Race on September 27th in the year 2027. And with that, on the September 27th, it is by the United Nations been proclaimed World Tourism Day. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is to unite tourism departments around the world to be our host as we travel around the world. And so we're looking at interconnectedness for this race being what brings us together, what binds us together, what tapestry that we create together. And so our goal is very simple. And the way we sum it up is very simple. The World Sky Race, a race for the planet, a race for humanity.
What better race that we need right now? Don, I thank you. Don Hartzell. People say a dreamer. Yes, we need dreamers, a leader, an innovator, an inventor. And we're excited. When I say we are excited in terms of Bermuda and educators to be a part of this event. We're excited that commencing in the summer, our STEM summer school will be actively engaging our young people in some of the first project developments or in terms of STEM around building little model airships. So we're excited. We're excited about this here, Don. And let me just say we are doing our part in networking also with another partner. There'll be more will be said about this partner in this venture also, Dibia Dream, who's coming on board. And I'll share with you, because one of the things that you have challenged, and I appreciate it, is to find those persons who believe in the vision and bring them on board. And Dibia Dream is partnering with us in the Department of Education here in Bermuda with our STEM Summer Academy. So we're excited and grateful that this is a partnership that we can bring to also the World Sky Race that, yes, Bermuda will be an active participant in. Thank you, Don.
I greatly appreciate it. What we need to do is pass the torch of humanity on to the next generation so that they can carry it brightly into their futures.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you. And we'll be in touch on Tuesday.
All right. I am so much looking forward to it. Thank you, Lou. Thank you for all these questions, and thank you for the moment to just get to talk about what we love.
More to come. Be blessed and enjoy your weekend.
Okay.
Take care.
All right.
There you have it, people. This is the need to lead. This is a venture that has great possibilities, yes, for education as a whole, but certainly for our children here, our youth in Bermuda, but also Bermuda as a whole also, because as you've heard, this is an event that will commence September 27th, 2027. A day that is dedicated by United Nations as Tourism Day. And you know what tourism means for us here in Bermuda. So that international business we will be actively a part of. And like I said, we have begun the process in terms of engaging our young people in these type of innovative, inventive type of projects. And like I said, people, in the need to lead, let's keep our dreams, our possibilities alive. Have yourself a safe, safe weekend, and just support and show love.
Thank you for listening to Medical Radio with Dr. Dean, kindly sponsored by Bermuda Healthcare Services, Brown Darrow Clinic. So be listening every Saturday between 8 and 10 a.m. for Medical Radio on Magic 102.7 FM. 102.7 WMJ-FM Bermuda. Magic 102.7. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the ownership, management, or staff of Magic 102.7 or Inter Island Communications. It's time now for the Need to Lead motivational program with Shangri-La Durham Thompson.
Dr. Shangri-La Durham Thompson next week. And as we said, we had Don Hartzell, World Sky Race. We talked about that. So stay tuned, people. Like we said, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. Show some love.
You've been listening to the Need to Lead Motivational Program with Shangri-La Durham Thompson. Be listening again next week, Saturday between 10 and 11 a.m. for the Need to Lead with Shangri-La Durham Thompson. Magic 102.7.